Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. I'm your host and narrator, Wayne Anderson, and in this podcast I read from my personal collection of unpublished stories for your listening pleasure. This week we are continuing a new, longer story, and I hope you guys are enjoying it because there's a lot more to come. Before we do get started, this episode is sponsored by Orange Hat Film Productions. Please go check them out and follow at Orange Hat Film Productions on Instagram. They're building a community of filmmakers and film fans interested in learning more about Orange Hat behind the scenes, new and old projects, and the crew and cast involved in bringing their films from script to screen. You can find out more at orangehatfilmproductions.com, and I highly suggest you go check them out. Without any more further ado, here we go. Chapter 5. "Who the hell are you?" Jake asks as soon as he's within talking distance of the man. And as he gets closer, he notices the horns are a very dark, dull red, like dried blood. The ends looked as if they'd been sharpened to fine points for the purpose of God knows what. Jake didn't like the looks of it at all, but he was simply too curious. And he couldn't seem to shake the feeling that this man might know something about the dreams that afflicted him, that got in the way of him having a normal life, with normal relationships.
"Follow me," he said, quietly, a heavy rasp to his voice as if he'd been a chain smoker his whole life,
accompanied the words. Then Jake thought about it, and if this man was actually what he appeared to be, then it was most likely caused by the fire and smoke of hell. Perhaps both. For reasons unknown to him, Jake followed the man, if indeed that is what he is, Jake thinks, into a nearby alley. They only walk into it a little, just enough to be decently hidden, and to have a decently private conversation.
"What are you?" Jake asks. "Let's not waste any time with stupid questions. One would think it's quite obvious what I am. I'm a demon. Obviously. And the look you're giving me, I'm assuming I'm your first."
"My first? My first what?" Jake asked, knowing the answer, but unable to grasp what he was in the process of doing. It's not like it was a regular occurrence to be talking to a man with horns who claimed to be...
"Your first demon. I can only assume that I'm the first one you've seen."
"Yeah, I suppose." The demon laughs, and it sounds disgusting, coming from his wrecked throat. Jake winces involuntarily, and the demon stops abruptly, seeming a little embarrassed. He continued,
"Well, get used to seeing people like me, kid. Because believe me, you'll start seeing a lot more."
Jake asked the only thing he could think of. The only thing that, at that moment, he could make any sense of at all.
"This is about my dreams, isn't it?"
The demon looks genuinely surprised as he says,
"Dreams? No idea what dreams you're talking about, kid. But look, I just came to check on you for later. Lots of interested clientele, you may say. I didn't know you'd be experiencing your, awakening today, but, well, that does make it more interesting. You may see me again. I'll certainly be seeing you. Goodbye, Jake."
And all of a sudden, the demon was gone. No puff of smoke, no demonic wormhole, no swish of a cape. One moment he was there, and the next he was gone. Jake was left standing in the alley, wondering what had just happened, and why. Who was the man in black? How the hell did he know my name? He knew that he didn't know the answers, but that they would most likely present themselves and he was supposed to know, and he thought this was fine. He was certainly used to unanswered questions. Walking back to his car, he marvels at how strangely composed he is. He had no doubt that the man was a demon. He believed him. And yet, this didn't shock him. Jake supposed that it was most likely due to the fact that he had always believed in hell. It was hard not to when he went there every night in his mind. Chapter 6. I didn't know you'd be experiencing your awakening today. At first, when the man with the horns, although he knows in his mind he should get used to saying demon, had said this, Jake had no clue what he was talking about. He still didn't, really. However, while driving home, he realized that he was seeing more and more demons. Everywhere. Driving in cars, walking down the street, ordering something from one of the many hot dog vendors, they were all over the place. And Jake found it odd that he didn't find it odd. It's not like any of them were doing anything dangerous or demon-like. They just looked like humans, but with horns. A wide array of them, too. Long ones, short ones, straight ones, curved ones, thin ones, thick ones. His mind raced a mile a minute, and yet he still keeps his composure and drives on as if the ever-rising number of horned people was something not only uninteresting, but unimportant. He was still concerned about Lydia coming over tonight. It was bad enough that he had these terrible nightmares, but how is he expected to function when everywhere he looks there are minions from hell? Who cares? Jake keeps telling himself on the ride home. So what? Everybody knows there are millions of terrible, evil people in the world. Now I just have a better idea of who they are. And as long as they leave me alone, who cares? So what? He repeats this mantra of uncaring over and over in his head to the point where he thinks, if the demons everywhere haven't already gotten to me, saying this over and over enough will definitely drive me off the edge. And so he stopped, and his mind drifted back to Lydia. Bad timing. That's what this was. On top of the usual issues he was contending with women, this could only exacerbate things. And then he started thinking again about how this all had happened at once, and suddenly. He saw one demon, tried his best to stay sane, and within minutes they were everywhere. What if Mel was one? Or Lydia? Or his landlord? What could he do then? Just deal with it. Once again, holding on to the who cares way of life. That as long as they didn't act like demons, he could just look past the horns, ignore them, pretend they weren't there, staring him in the face. Maybe I can do that. Only time will tell, Jake thinks. A few minutes away from his apartment, he remembers that amongst the small talk this morning with Lydia, he had said that he would cook for her. He swerves his car around and heads for the nearest food mart, which isn't too far. He parks quickly and crookedly, but the parking lot is next to empty, so he ignores it and hurries in. Realizing he doesn't know how to cook much, he panics for a second, but only a second, as he remembers there is one thing he's always been able to make well, spaghetti. And so he hurries from aisle to aisle, collecting all the things he needs to make the sauce, the noodles themselves, and a few different kinds of cheese with which to top it all off. He gets lucky and finds a checkout lane void of anyone except for the cashier, and starts putting the items on the lane. Jake distractedly rummages in his pockets for his wallet and pulls it out, flipping through his bills, praying to God that he has enough on him to pay.
Okay, so all of that comes to...
Cashier trails off, and Jake looks up, surprised to find that it was not only someone he knew, this is where he gets most of his food from after all, but that she had, unsurprisingly, had horns. Small ones, curved upwards ever so slightly, poking through her blonde bangs. Jake couldn't look away. Abby, the checkout girl, was a demon. Go figure.
Oh, hey, Jake. Sorry, I didn't see you. I've been a little out of it today.
Yeah, no problem. Jake says, trying to look her in the eyes, but finding himself unable to. The horns draw too much attention.
So, I guess you're cooking famous Jake spaghetti, huh? Hopefully this one sticks around.
She says, trying to be nice. Jake knows. Thinks. But it still stings a little bit. Yeah, why would she? Jake says. unable to hide his insecurities. He hands her the money, saying quietly, "You didn't."
"Jake, don't do this to me, please. You're a great guy, and you know I care about you. But me and you, it just wasn't meant to be. I'm being friendly, and I'd like to stay friends with you, but you have to let you and me go, okay?"
I have, Abby. You know, though, you know what I'm like. You also know I can't really help it. I try, but..." He trails off.
"Let's drop it, okay?"
She hands him his change and gives him a smile and a wink.
"Take care."
Jake gathers up his things and starts to walk away. Abby calls after him.
"Hey, Jake?"
He turns, walking back to the counter, which was still void of any other people. They all seemed to gravitate towards different aisles and different cashiers, which Jake found odd because she was a young, beautiful blonde, even with the horns, which nobody else could see. Was it her doing it, or were people avoiding her subconsciously? Jake had never avoided her. "What?" he said a little impatiently. Not because he didn't like Abby, he did. She's a great woman, or demon. But because either way, she just reminded him of yet another failed attempt at a normal relationship. Of course, if he had known she was a demon, the relationship probably wouldn't have happened at all.
"You never know. Maybe this new girl, maybe she's the one."
"Why do people keep saying that to me today?" Jake thinks. But he says, "Thanks." About to walk away again, Jake can't help saying, "Oh, by the way, you look great with those horns, you really do. They suit you for some reason." Abby's mouth drops like a stone, but she quickly pulls it back up into an awkward smile.
"What? What are you talking about?"
Jake laughs as he walks away. "I don't know. I think I've awakened. And you know what? I don't really seem to mind." Chapter 7. Again, Jake finds himself behind the wheel of his car and heading home. He keeps looking at his watch as if doing so would slow it down, and in turn all of time itself, just for him, just to give him a few extra minutes to get ready. No such luck. He wasn't before, but now he's antsy, squirming around in his seat and rhythmically but impatiently tapping his fingers on the steering wheel every time he gets stuck at a red light. Abby the checkout girl is a demon. He couldn't get it out of his head. It completely boggled him. Not in an "oh my god" kind of way, but a deep reflective "holy shit" kind of way. Knowing that someone close to him was already a demon and he just didn't know? How do you come to terms with that? Jake slowly realizes that you quite simply do not. He supposes that you just have to accept it and try to keep one firm foot in reality. Then there was Lydia, most likely getting ready to come over at this very instant. Oh god, how am I supposed to deal with all of this? Before he even finished thinking about it, someone ran out in front of his car, waving their arms dramatically and screaming at the top of their lungs. "Stop! Please stop!" Jake sighed as he screeched to a halt, knowing deep down that the things he didn't know how to deal with were piling up, and figured they would only continue to do so now that he had awakened. At this moment is when Jake decides he wouldn't take it sitting down. Not anymore. He needed answers. The ones he kept telling himself he didn't. He couldn't avoid it anymore. Even if knowing the truth and the whole truth would terrify him to his core and would drive him mad, he needed some kind of answers. Some idea of what was going on exactly. When the passenger door of his car was pulled open, and a man in ratty jeans, busted-up sneakers, and a Led Zeppelin t-shirt slid into the seat next to him, Jake wasn't at all surprised to see that the man had horns. Of course he did. "Hey man, thanks for picking me up. Just drive, just get me the hell out of here." Jake couldn't think of a way to let the demon know that he knew he was a demon. After he thought about it a little, he realized that maybe he didn't have to. He could just ignore it. After all, it's not like every demon he runs into is going to be as nice as Abby, and eventually he might let the wrong demon know that he knew about their presence, which is obviously hidden from the rest of the world, and he might get killed or eaten for it. So he ignores the horns for now. Yeah, well, it's hard to ignore somebody screaming at the side of the road. Yeah, he says, looking out the window and looking rather sheepish. So, Jake begins, hoping the demon picks up the hint, but he doesn't. Just looks at Jake with a look of puzzlement on his face. Innocence. So, what was going on? Why were you running and around screaming for a car to stop? Oh, that. Yeah, that was just a big misunderstanding. And then he resumed staring out the window. Jake drove in silence for another minute or two, not being able to quite focus his mind on one thing at a time. There was too much happening too fast, and he hadn't had a chance to just sit down and process yet. Eventually, he spoke up again. Anywhere you want let off, man? Oh, wherever you're going is fine, I'm sure. Jake laughed, starting to get a little nervous. The man wasn't intimidating, it wasn't that, but he was a hitchhiker. And a demon. Well, I'm going home, so... yeah. No problem, I'll just walk from there. The rest of the drive, they were silent. Jake grew more and more worried as he reached his house that the man would try to rob him or kill him, or eat his soul or something. But when they finally arrived, the man thanked Jake and shook his hand, gave him a 20 for the ride, and walked away, continuing down the road. Jake looked after him for a while. He had no idea what the hell just happened. The hitchhiking demon had seemed to be in a bad place after all. When is running and screaming for someone to stop ever being in a good place? And yet, as soon as Jake picked him up, he seemed calm, like he was waiting to be picked up by a cab driver, and then paid Jake as such, too. Curious, Jake thinks to himself before he turns around and walks up the driveway path to his small house, which he rents from an old lady who lives down the street. Actually, I haven't seen the Widow Belle for a while. Maybe I should check in on her tomorrow. When he entered his house, he looked behind him and saw no trace of the man with the Zeppelin shirt. He was long gone down the road. Jake locked the door either way. No matter all the nonsense that had transpired to Jake throughout the day, once he got inside and started cooking, it all melted away. He didn't know how to cook too much, and what he did were simpler foods to make, and yet he still found it easy to get lost in making a meal. His kitchen was ideal for it, though not too big at all, it was just right. Marble countertops, a nice silver-plated sink, top-of-the-line stove, oven, dishwasher. It was all installed like this when he first moved in. Jake had done a fair amount of work on the house, even though he just rented. The Widow Belle wouldn't mind. But he hadn't touched the kitchen. That had always been perfect. In what seemed like no time, the doorbell rang. Jake took a deep breath and prepared himself for a night with Lydia. Something he was excited about and dreading all at once. Chapter 8. When he pulled open the door, smiling from ear to ear, Lydia was standing there, holding a Tupperware container, looking as adorable as she ever had before. Her beauty never failed to amaze Jake. She held out the container, saying,
"Cookies. Made some for dessert."
"Thanks," Jake said, taking the container and her spring jacket from her as she entered the threshold of his house. He set the container of cookies on the table and hung her coat on the hanger near his door. Turning around, he wasn't too surprised to see that she was studying his things like she always did. He asked her about it the first time she was here, as it had made him slightly uncomfortable at the time and still did. She had just said,
"You can tell a lot about people by what their houses or rooms look like, but especially their rooms. Let me see your bedroom."
He had proceeded to show her his bedroom, which she scanned for a minute while he stood in the doorway trying not to admire her buttocks, which was hard. He learned to just accept that she was a bit quirky, a little odd, and that was just fine, because he was a man who was haunted by recurring dreams and could now apparently see demons. He let her finish looking around. It gave him time to think as he walked back into the kitchen, which was an adjoined room split by a countertop about a third of the way down. He mindlessly started setting up dinner on the counter, which one half of doubled as the dining table with two stools on one end. Eventually, she walked and sat down in one of them, and Jake started dishing out food.
"So, how was your day?"
she asked. For a split second, it occurred to Jake that he could just tell her everything. Tell her about the nightmares, about hell, how he saw his first demon today, and then how he figured out that he'd actually dated a demon before. And to top it all off, that this was only just starting, as made all the more clear by the title used by the demon in the suit, The Awakening. It didn't sound like something that would go away soon. It sounded like something that had just started, that would only get more serious, and more complicated. Of course, to tell her all this would be to sabotage the relationship, and Jake had no intention of doing that, at least not anytime soon. So he responded with, "It was fine."
"Nothing interesting happened at all? What a waste of a day."
"Well, Mel argued with some kids about music. That's about it." He sat down at the table and was pleased to see that Lydia was already shoveling food into her mouth. Jake supposes that shoveling was the wrong word, for nobody as beautiful and breathtaking as Lydia could even do so much as eat without drawing admiration from people nearby. It seemed either way that she was enjoying the meal. "I'm glad you like it," Jake says quietly, eating his own pasta as neatly as he could, for, as all men knew, women were not very fond of men eating like pigs, even if they did it themselves. And so Jake slowly and politely eats while Lydia devours. Oddly enough, Jake finds that it's turning him on, maybe due to the fact that she was enjoying the food so much, rather than her appearance while eating it. Eventually, Lydia finished her plate, looked up at Jake, and realized he had been watching her eat. Her cheeks flushed as she said,
"It was really good."
"I love you," Jake said, not even fully aware of what he had said until he said it. His eyes widened as he realized that he may have just sabotaged the relationship himself earlier than even he had thought at his most pessimistic. Stunning him, she gently took hold of one of his hands in hers and swiveled on her stool so that they were facing each other. She had tears in her eyes, and Jake was starting to wonder if this was the first time that she had ever been told this, or maybe the first time she'd been told it and believed it as well.
"I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry. I do love you, Lydia. I know it may be a little early to just come out and say it, but I've never felt this way before about anyone. You give me genuine hope that my life will get better, and I've never really had that before."
Jake wasn't really done speaking, but he must have hit the right notes because without a word, Lydia tackled him off the stool to the floor and started biting and kissing his neck. She roughly reached down and started unbuttoning his pants while they rolled around on the floor, kissing, laughing, and eventually making love. It was the most passionate lovemaking that Jake had ever experienced, and it was only reinforced the idea that he did indeed love her, because never before had he felt this type of electricity. And it wasn't simply sexual, but spiritual as well. Now that Jake knew that the afterlife was real, some kind of afterlife anyways, he felt that he had the right to think that. After they finished, climaxing at the same time, convulsing in pleasure, wrapped in each other's arms, she leaned in close and whispered,
"I love you too."
This was the first time Jake had heard those words directed at him, aside from his parents, of course. And he genuinely believed it. He didn't realize how much it would affect him until after she said it, and he couldn't help but start to cry. Lydia held him close and let him. Once Jake had started to calm down, and both of their naked bodies were covered in sweat and tears, she asked him what was wrong. Jake looked up at her and saw the love in her eyes, and he told her so. He told her that after his parents had died, he never thought he would be truly and genuinely loved ever again. He was simply too fucked up, too disturbed, too emotionally unstable for him to even hold out hope that one day he would be treated with the love that he so desperately craved. And yet, against all odds, she had shown him that love. He was so caught up in his emotional breakthrough, or breakdown, that he completely forgot about his hellish nightmares. and he fell asleep in her arms on the living room floor. That night, for the first time since he could remember, he slept a sound sleep and dreamt of nothing but soothing blackness. And that's it for this week. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review if you haven't. It would really help me out. And part 3 of The Hell Conduit will be coming sometime next month, so stay tuned. A thank you to Orange Hat Film Productions for sponsoring the show. I hope you guys liked part 2 because there's a lot more of this one to come. And until next time, have a good one.